This program features hacks performed either by noobs or under the supervision of noobs. They are far from perfect. Accordingly, Anti-Meme and the producers must insist that people attempt to recreate or reenact any hack or activity performed on the show to get it right the next time. Anti-Meme asks that if our listeners do get any of these hacks or culture jams correct, that they submit information on what and how they did it. In other words, please try this at home.
Live in front of a tape studio audience, this is episode 8. We have a totally kick-ass guest for this episode, and we both have a joke to tell. I could leave it up to the listeners to decide which one's best. My joke says, what's better than winning a gold medal at the Special Olympics? Not being retarded.
Well, my joke is, what is better than winning a gold medal at the Special Olympics?
What's that?
Not being retarded.
Alright, we're back from the opening music, and as you may have heard, I don't know if any of you recognize the voice, but the guest for this show is Decoder.
What is up, everybody in internet streaming audio land?
As far as the joke we told, I hope people don't take it the wrong way, because as Decoder and I were talking earlier, Decoder was actually asking me if it would be too offensive. Keep in mind, this is coming from fucking Decoder, asking if it's too offensive. So,
And if I'm saying it's too offensive, there's really some serious problems.
No shit, and you know what? That's what made it so goddamn perfect, so we used it.
Can I get some credit for that joke, by the way?
Yes, it was your joke.
I want to give credit to who I think that came from Artie Lang.
Oh, right. All right, I'm going to jump straight into the emails. I've got quite a few of them for all the people that love the massive amount of emails. And yeah, it may take quite a bit of the show, but that's because, yeah, there's not much content. Sorry about that. My life has just been really fucking busy lately, so who cares? It'll still be good. The first email, actually, I had this from last month, but I've been saving it for this month, is from Zeno, which he happens to be from New York, too, believe it or not. He's from Astoria, I think.
It's in Queens. I know a lot of people there.
Right, right.
Shouts to Astoria.
Yeah, shouts.
Whole Q Borough.
No, his email is, Hey Logic, hope you are well. was thinking of other possible destructive memes that you might like to talk about, and I recalled the whole field of racist jokes. Apparently a lot of these, if not most, are written by people who wish to perpetuate hate and racist ideology. I wouldn't doubt that actual professional writers are paid for this as well. I really can't prove this, but I may be an avenue for investigation. Many times the seeds of suggestion are planted for whatever purpose or agenda through humor. I believe that it has been said before that you can get a person to laugh and that there's a, you know, when you get their guard down and receptive to the injection of the idea, you know, when you make them laugh, they're not thinking about criticizing it or not. Can't wait to hear your show on Laugh Tracks, as this line of thought runs somewhat parallel to what you're doing. But that's,
is he trying to say that we should have done a racist joke?
I think so. I think he wanted us to do a racist joke.
Sorry.
Yeah. Too bad. Just going to make fun of the retarded people. Yeah, I can't wait for more hate mail. So, Matt Generic, you know the show, you know the link. Go ahead and email me. And then, next email, this is from Mullen2121, also I think it goes by Penguin. It says, hey, I just have to say your show is awesome. Yes, it is. Thank you. I listen to it every 26th of the month. Do you plan on getting a forum of some sort for your fans? It would be easier to organize guests and stuff. Well, just giving some suggestions. I was also wondering if you need any help with Antimeme. I wouldn't mind helping out in the ways that you need help. And to respond to that, yeah, the help is great in any way. It's community. That'd be great. As far as the forum side goes, haven't really considered putting forums up on the site, just because also there's another site that I have up. It's just our local 2600 website. It's phx2600.org. And I just have a culture jamming section up on that website. So, you know, anybody that wants to discuss about that, I'm on those forums and there's a culture jamming section there. So if you want to discuss anything about even the show, then feel free to push it on over there. And for some hate mail, kind of hate mail. It's actually,
Wait, you got hate mail?
Yeah, well, actually, I kind of call it hate mail, but it's more of like a correction. But it's regarding, and this is from Medicine Soup, so it is one of the previous guests. But it's on the strategy for using truth tables. It says, for the following proof, if it's raining, then there will be clouds nearby. It's raining or kittens are dying. Kittens are not dying. He's just pointing out in the truth table that I had on the details and also the way I discussed it on the show, the steps 2 through 6, third row down, column A or C. It's asking, why is it true where A is 0, C is 0, and A or C equals 1? And yeah, I fucked it up. So that's a correction for the last episode. And I did update the actual show notes on the website. So to reflect that, but no, not really hate mail, like the whole Matt Generic thing.
We were talking. Favorite.
Yeah, you know, you want to talk about that email? You're actually mentioning some other things that, you know.
Yeah, you know, I wish that I had it in front of me. Unfortunately, I had the research, but my dog ate it. If you could remind me, perhaps, because you caught me off guard here with what he was saying, just give me a quick reminder, and I'll go off on this motherfucker, because I really don't think he was, the one thing was Michael Moore.
Yeah.
That was it. In his email, in that particular episode, I think it was 5? Episode 5, was that?
Something like that, I don't remember. I think so, yeah.
5, where your guest, Evan something or other, sorry that I forgot his name.
Yeah, Evan Olson.
Written down in front of me. He mentioned, in passing, Michael Moore once. And just as a reference to a movie that had some relation to what he was talking about. He didn't say anything great about Michael Moore, he didn't say anything of the sort, all he did was mention him in passing. But this guy, Matt Generic, in his email, he mentioned Michael Moore twice. And what that tells me is that this guy doesn't like Michael Moore. And his problem with you, even though he didn't flat out state it, was that you're really not allowed to mention Michael Moore unless you talk shit about him. So that's the first thing. I think it was an emotional response that he happened to mention Michael Moore twice in an email. The other thing is that he was pretty much defending large corporations, and his name was Matt Generic, which, I hate to say it, it just really sounds like doublespeak to me. So, like, in an esoteric, or not even, in a metaphysical sense, if that's his real handle, that his pure existence in life was just to write you that email and for me to make fun of him. If he used that name as doublespeak, then he knows doublespeak. At any rate, the other thing he said was that advertising, that you overreacted as far as how it affects people.
And I probably underreacted in my response to that.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of people, plenty of advertisers, that are spending millions and millions upon millions of dollars. And they'll tell you fucking otherwise. They wouldn't do it if it didn't affect you. They know it affects you. They do it specifically to affect you. They don't make advertisements that you remember or for a mental response. It's for an emotional response. And the best advertisement is something that you won't remember, that your subconscious might remember a month from now when you run across that product. So for him to state that doesn't affect anybody, you're fucking kidding. The whole point of advertising is to affect you, to get you to buy that fucking product. And like the way you stated it was that you would rather see a commercial that actually that states what's good about the product.
Yeah.
And why you might want to buy it. But you don't see any advertisements that do that, do you? I don't see any that do that because they're not looking for that. They're not telling you what's good about the product.
No, because the product sucks. They got to trick you. My take on that is, yeah, the products usually suck, so they have to trick you somehow to buy a product that you wouldn't really have a demand for anyway.
That too.
And also, yeah, as far as the influence of it, I mean, I don't know how long ago it was I checked, you know, into different types of college degrees, but I think there's one, in marketing, you know, and, you know, there's whole fucking degrees on this whole concept of pushing products out, you know, so I don't know, but that's.
If you recall, there was a time where they stopped doing it. They made it I don't know if it's technically illegal, but they made it a common practice to not do it anymore. But they used to, for a brief period of time, they would make the commercials on TV louder than the actual show. So sometimes I'd be watching a TV show, and I would get up to use the bathroom or to go to the kitchen or something, and it would be at a normal volume, and then a commercial would come on to be loud as all fuck.
I thought they still do that.
You're telling me that they're doing something for a reason. They want you to get, they want to get your attention. They're doing all this for a reason. Of course it affects people. Somebody write you an email saying that advertising doesn't affect people. Like, anybody who works in the advertising industry that hears that's just going to laugh. That's it, period. And I hate Michael Moore. So don't get mad at me, Matt Generic, because Michael Moore is a dick. Or whatever you want to hear. He's an un-American. He's a communist. There you go. Fuck Michael Moore. Damn it. Anyway.
So the next email, this is, goes by the name Brainwashed Noob. It says, Logic and Satan, Medicine Soup, dig the show, down with Alienware. Yeah, I went on a rant last time about them because their shit sucks. And,
remember that.
Yeah. The rest of the email is, okay, in a purely logical mindset, is there room for emotion? I have the belief that emotion and logic are compatible mindsets, he says. So my question to you are, how do you view the emotional mind and how do you see it affecting logic? Thanks and blessed be. So, my take, yeah, I do think that emotion can be compatible with logic as long as you map it in that logical way. Like, you know, you have premises leading to conclusions through a logical structure. So if you're dealing with emotional issues, you just have to map those emotional issues as truth-valued statements, and then you can pump it through the machine of logic and get conclusions based on that.
Is that possible?
Oh, I believe that it is. I mean, the difference is that the wrong way, I think, to do it is to, you know, just say, like...
Because I would think, like, emotions sometimes might even be the antithesis of logic.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's typically... I guess if you base a decision purely on the emotion you feel, where you base your ideas on how you feel, that may not be true. But I guess where I'm going, it's kind of like a different format where it's a premise that if you fall in love with somebody, then you'll want to date them. And then there's another premise that says you fell in love with this person. Then you can conclude that you want to date that person. So I guess it's more like the premises are about emotions, but not based, like not decisions based on those emotions, if that makes any sense.
Well, just because it's based on emotion doesn't mean it can't be right or true, but it may not be necessarily logical.
Right, I guess so. I mean, I'm just saying, like, don't go around killing people because you're angry, you know? Kill them because they deserve to die.
But I'm glad you told me that because I had a plan for later, but nah, I guess I'll stop.
That's too bad. Dude, you're already in enough trouble. So... enough of that. Next email is from, it goes by the name of, I think it's Madar, something like that. It says, howdy, good show. I'm glad that someone has decided to take on this subject. Well researched with quality execution. Yeah, Matt, fuck you. Keep up the great work. I came across this link recently and thought you might be interested. And, I'll include the link on the show notes. It's like www.requip.com. It says, wow, you know, sometimes I get up and stand for no reason whatsoever, it's good to know that the FDA has my back. I checked out this link. I'm just reading some of the lines on the website. Requip is the first and only FDA-approved medication for the treatment of moderate to severe primary restless leg syndrome. So, and it just goes through this whole explanation of, like, you know, I'm not even too sure, like, I had to read it over and over to even be able to tell if it's a fucking joke or not, because it's so goddamn ridiculous, but just like, you know, do your legs keep you awake at night, you know, when you're traveling, do you get restless, and all this dumb shit, and it's like, dude, your legs are moving around, like, I don't see the big fucking problem, but you know me, I'm not really a pill pumper myself. Seriously, there's a drug for everything. You really can say that now. I mean, maybe, you know, another show can be done on the pharmaceutical industry, but, like, goddamn.
It's like a muscle relaxer?
I was actually trying to look around and see what the actual chemical was of it, but I couldn't really find it. Maybe I just didn't look hard enough, but, no, I don't think that. I think that's just a name. No, I don't really know what the fuck it is, but I guess the disorder is primary restless leg syndrome, or RLS.
Primary restless leg syndrome.
Yep, I know I have it.
A joke? That's not a joke. There's something real wrong.
I don't think it is. Oh wait, I think it does have a name. It's the drug. It's like HCI, I think. Rope and roll or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, the link's gonna be on the notes. So if you guys want to take a look at it,
everybody has restless legs. You might want to check out that link.
Or take a walk. I mean,
walk it off.
Because I think you probably could. Now it's time for the anti-commercial. I should probably give a little explanation of the visual side of it, just because it's not a purely audio commercial, but took it from, you know, the archive of the Super Bowl. It's the one where this guy's going through the TSA, you know, the airport. He's going through the security checking clearance thing, whatever. And basically this lady, the TSA lady, is waving the wand across him, and she's making some fake beeping sounds. And, you know, I guess the dialogue will explain the rest of it. So here's the anti-commercial.
Sir, excuse me, I'm gonna have to wand you.
Oh, drop the bags here.
Yeah. Wait, sir, I'm gonna have to take that.
I'm sorry, what?
Wait, what is that, sir?
It's here, miss.
Thank you.
Please hand it over, sir.
You just
wand. You're just going wah wah when you put the thing over the screen.
No, I'm not, sir. Buzz, we got a troublemaker.
Just give me the word, Wendy.
Wait.
Oh, I'm good.
Right. All right, back from the commercial.
I kind of feel like having a Sierra Mist right now. I don't know why. Not positive why. I just kind of feel like it.
I don't know. It could be. No, wait. We already learned that advertising has no effect whatsoever on
life. Oh, yeah. I must just be thirsty.
Yeah, it must just be thirst. And for some weird coincidence, it's the Sierra Mist that you crave.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, man. But. No, this is actually, it reminds me of something. First off, it's just kind of like, the issues surrounding us, we make it funny. Like, this is the TSA, you know, Homeland Security shit, that's really serious shit, and it's just a funny issue now in this commercial. Like, oh, they're pushing this guy around, oh, it's funny, and they're getting away with it, oh, that's kind of funny. But really, it's not that fucking funny. I mean, to me, actually, like, last month, I think it was a little bit later, farther back than a month ago, but I went to the Albuquerque 2600 meeting, you know, where duels out there. And on my way back, I actually got stopped and checked and all that stuff keep in mind, for the record, it's all Duel's fault. I blame it all on him, because I had some gear with me that I brought to the meeting, because, you know, it's a 2600 meeting, so you bring gear. But I thought it'd be questionable to bring carry on, and I was probably right with that assessment, so I just did it, you know, through the normal means. And no, he tried to convince me and talk me into doing a carry on when I went back, and, you know, I got stopped, I got searched, I got pat down, they swabbed my shoes because, you know, we're all carrying explosives in them.
Because Richard Ramirez did it, so everybody must be doing it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, let's not look at any other, you know, probable thing that people could do, but no, we'll just look at that one thing that was tried once, you know, but...
So retarded.
But yeah, they even swabbed my laptop and all that crap, and they even broke my speakers. They broke the switch off of it, and that wasn't even coming back. That was when I was going to Albuquerque. I got the little slip in my backpack that said they inspected everything, and they broke the power switch off my speakers. Or
what do they do for you?
What do you mean, what they do for me?
They told you they broke it, so what do they do?
They didn't do shit. They didn't even say they broke it. They just fucking broke it. Like, I wasn't there. They, you know, because that was when I just, you know, not carry on, but the normal means of checking it in. And yeah, when I got my backpack back from when I arrived, I opened my bag up and I saw that the speakers, the power switch was broken off. I was like, fuck, dude. It's actually a blue box, or it was actually a blue, red, silver box that I made with a chip. But so
that's the cost of freedom.
Yeah, the cost of freedom.
Yep.
Right. So shit, we got a show topic.
Oh yeah.
So. Laugh tracks, pulling up some of my abundant research on the topic. But, you know.
My dog also ate that research.
Yeah, you did a whole lot of research as well. Came up with so much more stuff than me, too.
But I forgot.
Yeah. Well, that, you know. Okay, so As far as laugh tracks, I mean, the whole idea I wanted to do, the topic, I think I was just at work, somebody brought a portable TV in with them, and they're watching some really shitty sitcom, and I just heard those laugh tracks, and I'm just thinking, like, those are, you know, not only fucking annoying, but kind of manipulative, you know, and I don't like things that are manipulative. I've said that before. And I remember even, you know, years ago, watching a comedy show, it actually did hit me. I was watching it, and there was a laugh track, and I actually consciously realized that wasn't really funny. And then I started to think, like, let's put this to the test. Like, let's listen for every time they have a laugh track and actually assess, is it really funny? I'd say about 5% of the time it was actually funny. And I'm not trying to say just from my own, like, subjective perspective here. It was more like it just really wasn't a joke. It wasn't meant to be funny. It was just some random shit, and then a laugh track was shoved in. So I thought, you know, it's a manipulative thing. Great topic for the show, so that's why we're doing it. And a little bit of history. I guess the reason, apparently, that they started doing laugh tracks wasn't to be manipulative or anything. It was more that back then, people were used to just going to live performances and live shows and plays and concerts and stuff like that. And usually there would be laughing, you know, and you would hear laughing from other people. You'd be laughing yourself, and you're just used to that kind of participation. So I guess the original idea for introducing laugh tracks to the TV or sitcoms is to make it so it's not so awkward. So you're listening to the show, and then there's something funny, and then you hear the laughter. So it feels like you're actually doing what you used to be doing.
Aha.
Yeah. So the epiphany there. And I guess the first TV show to incorporate laugh tracks was, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it because I don't even know of the show, but Hank McCoon, I think.
Oh yeah, I used to watch it all the time. It was my favorite show back in the day.
What was it about?
I don't know.
I watched a lot of it. But I guess it was introduced in 1950. It was on NBC network, and it just, you know, laugh tracks became more and more popular through the 60s, and in the 70s they actually, I think it was around the 70s, but they made a laugh machine. It was like a 20-inch tall machine. I guess it looks similar to an organ, and it had 10 horizontal and 4 vertical keys and a foot pedal. You could actually control the type of the laugh, the sex and age, and the foot pedal controlled the duration of the laughter. So I mean, now that sounds kind of laughable just because we have computers, but I guess in the 70s, you know, they're a bunch of noobs, so they had to use this organ.
Oh, yeah, computers back then. That didn't anything leak.
Yeah, they didn't exist, so. But now, as far as the whole reasoning for putting the laugh tracks in, it sounds pretty innocent. Maybe it really was innocent. Maybe that's actually why they did it. But I don't think that's the same thing right now. I mean, dude, it's like fucking how many years later? I don't really feel awkward watching something funny and not hearing laughing. Like, I can watch Family Guy and not hear laughing and still be laughing myself, you know? Because it's actually fucking funny. I don't need somebody to tell me that it's funny. But I was going to bring up a term that's used on the inside. It's called sweetening. And the action to sweetening is to add laughter to the show after it's taped. Usually in front of a live studio audience. It's just they put even more laughing in there. So why would they do that? You know, like, there's already laughing. You don't have to feel awkward because, I mean, it is a sincere laughter from a real audience. So.
Wait, that reminds me. That reminds me of sweetening. Ah, you refresh my memory. See, I actually did do research. I'm not my dog who did it either. The reason for the sweetening was because they would tape in front of a live studio audience, correct?
Yeah.
But sometimes they would have to go back and redo a scene a couple of times. And by the third or fourth time, they might have it right where that's when they're going to air. But by that time, the fucking studio audience isn't laughing anymore.
And that's funnier to me.
To sweeten it. Ostensibly.
Yeah.
I bet ostensibly part because, you know, that's just what I read on the interweb and it might not be true.
I mean, my take on that is still that the whole purpose was to have laughter so you don't feel awkward, and you know it's in front of a studio audience, so, I mean, just because you're not hearing laughter from them on a joke, does that mean it's not funny, you know? Like,
the Flintstones had laugh tracks.
Yes, they did, actually. They did, and...
Were they taped in front of a live studio audience?
I don't know. I'm wondering how many scenes they had to repeat in that show, too.
Yeah, they couldn't get it down the right first
time. But, I mean, actually, I think I did research, I should know, but I think I did some research on Flintstones, and I mean, yeah, obviously it's not recorded in front of a studio audience, but...
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah, so you never know.
I'm sure I'll have somebody correct me, which again, I welcome that. It's good. I don't sound like a welcome it that much when I'm talking so much shit about the Mr. Generic, but...
Yeah, but that guy was wrong. You can criticize if you're right.
Well, it's hard to say if he's even right or wrong, because he didn't really fucking say anything, so...
Well, yeah, that was the other thing. That's it. He really didn't say anything. He was like, you're a noob. but I'm not going to offer any reason for that or what you did wrong or anything else. Just do your research. Like, what the fuck? I thought you did the research. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, I think, like, we're already out of time. It's a good 4 minutes of content.
We're already out of time?
I think so.
I wonder all the shows I ever did were, like, 18 million years long.
Do you have any shouts, Dakota?
Yeah, I want to give shouts to you, of course, for doing the show. Definitely fucking lead. I want to give shouts to Dual Parallel, my brother from another mother. And, yeah, that's about, shout to Stank Dog for everything he does. He's the fucking man. And, can I give some fuck yous?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
I want to give fuck you to everybody who doesn't agree with me on anything. Like, fuck you if you don't share my same opinion. Like, you're obviously a retard. No, I want to give fuck yous to everybody who talks shit and has something to say. You know, fuck you. Nobody cares.
Definitely. I'd also have to, reassert the shouts to Stink Dog. Mostly he's one of the people in the scene. A lot of people know him, but he's one of the people in the scene that actually has integrity, I would say. There's just not enough of that in this, I call it the scene, but.
And he does things, which a lot of people don't do. People talk a lot, but don't do anything.
Right, exactly, yeah. I mean, he'll actually get out there and do shit, like, you know, a show and run the forums and, BinRev Magazine and Hack TV. I'm pretty sure there's all kinds of other projects that I don't even know about. There's Will Hack for Food, there's Doc Droppers. Shit, dude. It goes on. So, people want to talk shit, but they should back it up. They should actually
talk shit for no reason, and then they don't really do anything at the same time. It's like,
But, well. Yeah, that's one shout, and another shout I'd have to give, just because I feel bad, but, and I think his handle is, Elgaro Squared, something like that. Came across him on the forum, so I was actually gonna have him do, like, a soundboard to mix the laugh tracks in here, but I figured it'd probably be better to do it post-production, but, let's give him shouts anyway, just cause he was offering to help out, so, gotta give that guy shouts too. And, till next time, question everything.
Including questions!